Here's the other thing about Rodgers right now. He's not turning the ball over at all, certainly not via interception. There's been a couple fumbles in there over the past month. Limits, tell me when his last interception was.
November 9th against the Chargers.
You were back in college on November 9th. That's a long time.
Seven games.
That's another reason why I think, and I think he will do this, and it's mostly up to him, that they'll just take a bad series when they have one. Throw a ball out of bounds, take a sack, whatever. A punt is not a bad thing in this game. And I think that this quarterback and this offense as currently constructed is going to be effective enough against a great, and I'll say great, Texans defense. I will admit that. 412-928-9370, the working premise here this morning. And you can listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. The working premise is that the Steelers are going to beat the Texans and have a chance to go on a run. I mean, if you beat in football, if you win one game, you're officially on a run. If you win two, you definitely are. If you get to the divisional round, and you're, especially if you're playing at home, this could get very interesting. There's something happening over there. I felt it a couple weeks ago. Cleveland threw me for a loop, threw everybody for a loop. I know that. But with DK Metcalf, they win that game. With DK Metcalf and Watt, they certainly win the game. To me, the team they're putting on the field Monday night, for all intents and purposes, is on a five-game winning streak. I can't explain Cleveland, other than maybe Metcalf wasn't there and it was just a disaster. But there's something happening. 412-928-9370, and it starts with the quarterback. Limits, who do we got?
All right, Joe, let's start it off with our guy Greg in Youngstown to chime in.
Greg, what's up?
Hey, Joe. Now, City Limits could back me on this.
What?
I called you guys last week of June before the season.
Yeah.
I gave my predictions, and I said the Steelers were going to win the division and play Denver in the championship game, and I got laughed off the air that day. So, if I'm right, I'm the Nostradamus of the fan, because everybody laughed at me for that prediction.
You deserve your flowers. There's no doubt about that, but it hasn't happened yet either.
No,
I mean, the other thing,
Craig.
The other thing that could happen here is they could get hammered in right away, and then we get back to this question of, is it a successful season or not? You still there, Greg?
Yeah.
So has it already been a successful season? Do they need to come close to winning a playoff game for once, or do they need to win at least one or do more to make it a successful season for Greg in Youngstown?
When they going to win Monday night to be successful? After that, we'll see. But at least if they win up Monday night, I'll take it. But, I mean, we're just as good as any of these other teams. I mean, the whole – you know what amazes me? But we'll put down our team. Oh, they're not good enough. We don't have enough players. Just match us up against anybody. Maybe not the the quarterback now. But we get ripped on all the time. And I think we can hold up with anybody when everybody's healthy. I don't think there's any – I think we go far, actually. If we get the right breaks, we need the right breaks in any game – but we can stand up to anybody this year in the playoffs.
I agree right now. Certainly in the AFC. Thank you, Greg. Now, There was a topic yesterday on the PM show about Cam Hayward saying we're playing with house money right now. I mean, that to me implies that we've already done way more than expected and anything that happens now is okay. I don't agree with that. I've put a lot of thought into that idea over the past day or so. And while I'm tempted to say because of the nature of that win the other night and who it was against, it was the kind of win that felt like a playoff game. And not only that, it was the kind of game where you'll remember where you were 30 years from now. It still wasn't a playoff game. And honestly, the way the AFC North went this season, the least the Steelers could do is win it. It would have been pretty disastrous and qualify as a collapse if they don't win the AFC North, right? I mean, they were 4-1 at one point, and the Ravens were 1-5. now throw on to that the fact that all they had to do was beat Cleveland, and they avoided all that the other night. And instead, they're there playing for their lives. So let's not paint this, even though in the preseason, yes, nobody thought the Steelers would win the division. A month and a half in, a lot of people thought they would win the division. Vegas still didn't believe so, but if you're 4-1 and the other guys are 1-5, you should win that division. If all you have to do is beat Cleveland, which just fired their coach, you should win that division. So in the end, when I consider this question, what constitutes a successful season, the way things played out in the broken AFC North, really the least you could have done is win it. And now the real games start, and you better win one to make it a successful season. If it's a great game against Houston and goes to overtime and they lose, I won't be of a mind that I was last year after the Baltimore embarrassment, but it still won't be a success. 928-9370 Wonder Twin.
Here is Gary to chime in.
Hey, Gary.
Thanks, Limits. Joe, a fellow Buffalonian, been down here 40 years, but I want to give my granddaughter props. You know St. Mary's in Lancaster? Mary's Academy?
Yeah.
Yeah, she won state champ soccer, female soccer there, freshman.
Nice, man. So, congrats to her.
Yep. And I also want to concur with your swimming naked in Buffalo. That's an affirmative.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
That's what they had us do, Limits, when we were in junior high school.
It's
unbelievable that
story.
It happened all these years later, but it happened.
It wasn't co-ed, but we still had to swim.
Yeah, that happened in places. People in Pittsburgh have told me that it happened here.
How many violations?
Swim class was like that.
How many violations would that create these days?
Too many to count.
How many violations do we create in our car with our kids these days? I mean, come on.
In what?
How many violations do we commit with our kids in cars?
Yeah, exactly. Do you have anything Steeler related, sir?
Yes, I do. Yes,
what's
I
up?
Do. My concern is I love what you've been talking about with Aaron and everything and the positive movement. But what concerns me is the speed that they line up with, because Aaron's noted for getting a free five down offside penalty. They need to line up quicker. And he should have some kind of a cue for them to get to the line.
He does, and they've done it multiple times.
I know, but they're still lagging around, and he's waving his arm like he's anxious. The second thing is this communication with Smith. This is terrible with the headsets, you know. They got to get that resolved.
Did we ever get to the bottom of that, Limits, by the way? I mean,
I don't know what happened with that. I mean,
it seems to me it was faulty equipment.
Yes,
no?
Roger said that too, and they gave him a backup helmet, and even the backup helmet did not work. Eventually, they got everything.
So let me ask you a question, because I've never gotten to the bottom of this, and I'd love for Tomlin to be asked about this today, just so we know. Is it on the team when the equipment breaks down? Like if in baseball, for example, when the earpiece between the pitcher and catcher becomes faulty or doesn't work, they basically give you a break and stop the game, and somebody brings in a new piece of equipment.
Yeah, it's like an MLB-wide type of thing.
Why doesn't that happen in football?
I wondered the same thing. Like, why was the game not stopped to be able to get that corrected? It's a huge advantage for the defense to be able to have that type of communication and the offense not be able to have it.
I guess a team in a squirrely moment could use that as an excuse at any time. Like you could say, I can't hear. Here, look at my helmet. Or you could break it yourself or something. I don't know.
Potentially.
I don't know, but that's an interesting question. The other thing that happened since the game the other day.
Could I touch on one more thing with that? I feel like because don't the headsets go off after like 15 seconds? With 15 seconds left on the play clock, that's an NFL thing. That's not a Steelers turning them off. That's a league-wide rule.
Of course.
Where the headsets go off. So that's what makes me think, just going off the basis of that it would be an NFL thing, that the NFL would handle the communications with how those headsets work. Does that make sense?
I get what does when they turn off have to do with whether or not they're faulty or broken?
Well, I'm just trying to create a parallel as to why the NFL might be the ones that have like more of an authority and control over working that compared to
the
Steelers.
I don't know. I'd like to see Tomlin asked about that today. If the microphone or the headphone in your helmet, got smashed on a play and broke in half, I guess it's up to you to hurry up and get it fixed. Clearly, that's the case.
Well, and they gave him another helmet, and it didn't work. So it clearly wasn't the helmet, like a hit that Rodgers took, that damaged it.
It was the communication lines?
It was the communication
line. The internet was out?
Yeah, because when he put the second headset in,
the Wi-Fi was down.
And it didn't.
Rodgers should have had a personal hotspot then.
I think Ray Lewis was there jamming the signal to the headset.
That was just a strange situation. The other thing that happened the other day that we need to just acknowledge is that the Boswell missed extra point is now being ruled as a blocked kick. Did you see that? A limitless wonder.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Man, I don't have that much of a problem with it.
With what?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. I looked at a text that Cavalli sent me. I'll just be up front.
That was a pretty good cover up there.
Yeah.
You'd think after that that you wouldn't go back and read the Cavalli text, yet your eyes just went back to your phone again. Is he in some sort of emergency?
No,
is he okay?
No, he's okay. Everything's fine. Could you please rephrase?
Can we focus on the radio show?
Please.
That would be good.
Thank you.
So the missed extra point that almost cost them their season is now being ruled a blocked kick. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Yes, it is. That's a fact.
And I watched it like 10 times. It didn't look like it was blocked.
Well, watch it again, Limits. Because I've watched it too, and it's very hard to tell.
Yeah.
But number 39, I think it is, for the Ravens, reacts in such a way. Now, he may have just been happy that it happened, but he reacts in such a way that somebody would if they blocked the kick.
What, get a fingernail on it?
I don't know. Why are you doubting this so much all of a sudden? I'm just telling you what happened. Why would the NFL rule? Why is the official stat book now say it was a blocked kick if it wasn't?
Maybe because it was just such a strange kick where it looked like it was going right down the middle.
So they say, what the hell, we'll call it a block?
You know that
meme? They must be seeing something, Limits.
You know that meme where there's a car that's trying to get off the exit and they just so quickly veer off into the right lane to be able to take it where they're like drifting into the lane? That's what the field goal was like for Boswell, or that extra point. That ball just continued to drift and drift halfway through after it looked like it was going right down the middle.
I know it
did. So maybe it was blocked.
I know it did. And that's why they're saying, they must have access to some piece of video where they're ruling that a blocked kick. So that's all I can tell you.
So if that's the case, why doesn't the NFL go back and rule Myles Garrett's sack a half a sack because he touched the...
They would
touched
if they
Joe
thought
Burrow
it,
and
they
somebody
would
else did as well.
They would if they thought it was... That was the case. They would do that. They comb through plays and make rulings. That's part of what they do.
Could you imagine if they decided to just go back
and
that'd
said, be great.
Or like the game a couple weeks ago, the game before the Steelers one, where he had that half a sack, which probably should not have even been ruled a half a sack at all. And that was taken back from him. It's actually, it's actually 22 and a half. You just tied the record.
I would love that.
Do you see they carried him off the field like he was Rudy?
I mean, first of all, Joe Burrow took a dive on that play.
He did.
So here's all you need to know. If that was the conference championship or a playoff game on the line, do you think he does that same maneuver? You think
no.
He just goes down like that?
No, he probably just throws the ball at somebody's feet.
Or he doesn't just give himself up.
Right.
And weren't they still trying? Didn't they lose the football game?
Yes, they did.
So weren't they still trying to win? How much time was left?
You'd think so. I don't think Burrow and Chase.
How much time
and all
was left in the game
limits? There was 5.5 minutes left.
There you go. Something's very fishy about that. I'm with Kyle Brandt on that one. Now look up Boswell blocked extra point and see what you see. Because now I'm obsessed with this, especially since you've questioned it. Here's the story. Steelers Depot. Matthew Marzi, I believe, is his name. Chris Boswell's critical missed extra point now credited as a block by the Ravens. That's the story. And as Alex Kozora of Steelers Depot says, whoever number 39 is, this is me talking now, and this is now back to Kozora, sure looks like he's celebrating like he blocked it. More than everyone else, happy about the miss. So do you see that, Limits?
Yeah, I'm looking at the video right now.
Look at it right now. I can't believe that kick went the way it did. I think the guy blocked it. He got up and went crazy and was raising his hand like, I got it. I think it was a blocked kick. It was too strange of a play not to be blocked. That's what and obviously somebody saw something.
I just can't tell. I don't know how the NFL could rule that. Maybe just because of the flight that the ball took. thinking that it had
blocked. I mean, they have access to things we don't, limits.
Right.
They can look at it close up, slow motion.
They can look at it in 8K for all we know.
What's that?
You know how there's 4K TVs? It's like really clear picture.
No.
There's also 8K.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I have no way of being able to access that.
Maybe they looked at it in 12K on slow motion. Super slow motion on 12K.
I think 16K exists yet.
I think it will pretty soon. But the kick was so weird that I'm buying this. You buying it or no?
No, I'm not buying it.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't trust my eye. My eyes are telling me that he didn't block it.
They have a microscopic replay on here. You can't tell anything. You think this is the one they're looking at?
It's like when I played deck hockey and I tried to credit myself for a goal on a deflection when I was like 8 years old when I maybe like just barely tipped the puck in front of the net.
Yeah.
Playing at the old South Park deck hockey rinks.
Did you ever play against Crowley in deck hockey?
No, Crowley's like 10 years older than me.
You've never played anybody older than you in deck hockey? What does that have to do with anything?
What 8 years old player in deck hockey is playing somebody 18?
I didn't say when you were 8, limits. I didn't think when you were 3 and Crowley was 13 you were playing deck hockey against each other.
No.
But do you still play? That was why it was a friendly inquisition.
Crowley and I do not leisurely go to the deck hockey rink and suit it up against each other. No.
But you do play pickup basketball.
I do, yeah. I'm playing tomorrow night. You
want to
come?
Not pickup deck hockey. Isn't that a thing? Do people go play hockey?
Oh, yeah, there is. I have a lot of friends
that
play pickup deck hockey. It's not.
Oh.
Do you want to come play basketball with us tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
Coming up next, Nick from Penn Live.
Just thought I'd ask.
Where are you playing? Are you playing with the Mongoose?
No, I'm not playing with the Mongoose. I'm playing with some of my grade school and high school buddies.
Really? Are they all the exact same age?
For the most part, yeah.
Since you don't play pickup games with anybody older than you?
I have before, but I invited you to go.
You could bring the age
up a little bit.
Jeez, the Crowley question shut down with impunity there. That was unbelievable. I thought maybe when you were 20 or something that you and Crowley, if you play pickup hockey, may have played a game together.
No, I didn't know Crowley until I started working here, and he started working here when I was producing over on the AM side.
Yeah. How's it gone with Crowley? You guys friends? Do you think you ever will play pickup hockey together?
I invited Crowley to our tailgate on Monday night, the big Definitely You tailgate that I go to, my buddy Bruce, and Crowley made fun of me for saying that I might show up to the tailgate at 6 o'clock. Because that's 2 hours before the game, and I need to be there a lot earlier. And Crowley basically said that I need to be spending the whole entire day enjoying it so that the next 2 days at work for me are basically a living hell because I had so much fun at the tailgate.
I actually agree with Crowley there.